Let us then turn in God's Word to Daniel chapter 3 as we continue in our study of Daniel. We come to the third chapter. So let us hear together the Word of Almighty God. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre, and symphony, with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that certain time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression of his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see 4 men loose, walking into the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. Their hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no God who can deliver like this." No other God, I should add. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Thus far, the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at this passage, we ask a question. Doesn't God require us to be obedient to those who are in authority over us? I thought we had the fifth commandment. But when the government requires us to break God's law, not only may we disobey, but we must disobey. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were required by law to bow down before a false god, actually an image of a human being, Nebuchadnezzar. And so, when the government requires us to do things which are directly against God's law, we don't have a choice about the matter. When the Bible, or when the country speaks, as it does already in Canada, and says that we cannot speak biblically about homosexuality, we must not stop. When in China says you must abort a second child, or now I guess it's the third, but no matter what, we must disobey. And remember the disciples, Acts 5, 40-42, and they agreed with him, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. And so as we look at God's word this morning, as we look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we look at the fiery furnace, the theme that we want to see is God's children are called to worship and serve Him alone, even in the face of the fiery furnace. God's children are called to worship and serve Him alone, even in the face of the fiery furnace. In the first 18 verses, we see them living faith in danger. In verses 19 through 25, we see that God saves from danger. And then in verses 26 through 30, we see that God's name is praised. This is again about God. This is a first commandment issue. Who do we fear? It's easy for us as human beings to fear the things we see, to trust our own eyes and our own ears. And we have to understand whom we should fear. We are to fear and to trust in God, not man. And so we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego living faith in danger. Nebuchadnezzar sets up this image, bigger than life. Notice how much this exemplifies the human ego. This is how we see ourselves. Others have problems. Others are the problem often, we think. Others deserve God's judgment, but they need to bow down and do things for me, for us. And Nebuchadnezzar is king over a large area of the world. And so he sets up an image and he says, "Look how big and important I am." And he requires his subjects, his people, to worship him. Jesus said to the disciples, Matthew 20:25, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and that those who exercise great authority over them, those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." To be great as a Christian means to be a servant. Not to spend our time being served. Jesus came into this world not to be served, but to serve and to give his life. And so, we see that juxtaposition here. We consider Nebuchadnezzar standing up and saying, "Look how important I am." And our Savior comes into this world to give his life in our place. And so the people are gathered together. They're compelled to worship Nebuchadnezzar. And we have the command: when you hear the music playing in symphony — I like symphonies, but this is a pretty bad symphony — it may be music being played, but it might as well be gunpoint. Most of the time, the command is not going to come as a jarring horror. The command will be like music. Well, disobey God, it'll be nice. And furthermore, we'll be nice to you. It will come as something that seems gentle. But if we look behind it, we must see the power of their government, the power even finally of life and death, the force. And so the question is, whom do we fear? Do we fear man? Or do we truly put our fear and our trust in God? What did Jesus say? "Don't fear man, the worst he can do to you is kill you. Fear God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell." But we see in verse 6 this danger. What's the result of not worshiping? We all know it. The burning fiery furnace. And so what do we have in verse 7? Everyone complies. It seems that all of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's, even their fellow Jews, joined in worshiping the image. Now, think about the fact where they came from. This wasn't very different from what they had been doing that got them into trouble with God anyway, if we read the prophets. Israel had been worshiping false gods for the most part, but we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We have Daniel, who stand on God's word. They seek to follow him. They understand why God had judged Israel. So it's not that everyone has to agree with us. We need, as Christians, to stand on God's word and not fear man. But now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have done this, but some competitors seek to cause trouble for God's servants. This had not gone unnoticed. Everyone else is bowing down. There are three guys, apparently, who aren't. But notice how the competitors come. They come in an oily manner. "Didn't you, Nebuchadnezzar, make this decree? Well then, what about these guys over here?" They approach in envy. When we seek to be obedient to God, there are going to be those who do this. Don't be afraid. Know it ahead of time. There are going to be those who rat out those who seek to be obedient to God. And so they bring this information to Nebuchadnezzar. He goes into a rage because of their defiance. He has them brought. And notice how he describes all of this. Again, it's about Nebuchadnezzar. My gods. Me. Me. What is it with us as Christians? Too often we get that same idea. Me. The unholy Trinity. Me, myself, and I. But what are we as Christians? Where do we put our trust? Better not be in me. It better be in Christ. And so, they put their trust in God. And what does Nebuchadnezzar say? He calms down. He reissues his previous command. Just obey. It's okay. You get away with it. Just do it now. And as I said, this is a first commandment issue. What God do we worship? Do we worship our own safety? Our own lives? Or do we take up our crosses and follow Christ? Remember the third temptation of Christ. Matthew 4, 8 and following. And the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory and said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Who do we worship? Who's God? And notice Nebuchadnezzar is defying God. This becomes all the more clear. The bloom comes off of the rose. Who is the God who can deliver you from my hands? I got my hands on you. Even in that situation, who's powerful? Certainly not Nebuchadnezzar. And what do they answer? I love their answer. The King James puts it a little better. O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. It's not a big deal. Not only are we not going to worship your, quote, gods, unquote, we don't need to respect you. The exact opposite of what Nebuchadnezzar had been trying to do in this whole event, they throw it in his face. Paul writes, Philippians 1:28, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. And we don't need to be terrified by adversaries. And so, they answer. What do they answer? Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Notice he doesn't say will. Sometimes God doesn't. And they cover that, don't they? He will deliver us from your hand, O king. If he doesn't deliver us from the fire, at least we don't have to deal with you anymore. And sometimes that's the best answer. We hold on to our lives too firmly nowadays as human beings. Our life is a gift from God. Remember Philippians 2. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Now, that doesn't mean we put ourselves willfully in danger, but when this sort of thing comes up, might be time to check out. It's not a bad thing. You think about all the things that are said about martyrs for Christ. God's law doesn't change when we're in danger. We get that idea, don't we? Well, the guy's got the gun to my head. I don't have a choice about the matter. Yeah, actually I do. And we need to make the right choice according to God's law. And as we said, verse 18, if God doesn't deliver, let it be known to you, O king. Verse 18, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image you have set up. They put that flat in his lap, didn't they? I think we've got to be careful that we do not just bow ourselves. Well, it's going to be okay if we listen. Just obey the ideas. And what does God do? God saves from danger. Now, steadfast obedience is going to anger the world. Nebuchadnezzar was, at this point, trying to be winning. Just obey. And we read that his expression of his face changed toward them. He calls for the furnace to be heated up 7 times more than usual. And they're only hurting themselves. He called for certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind them and to cast them into the furnace. The fire killed these mighty men of valor. We have to understand that when man fights against God, man doesn't win. These mighty men of valor died because of the urgency of Nebuchadnezzar's sentence. And Christ saves. As we read there in verses 23 through 25, they were thrown in, bound hand and foot, in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, their garments. And Nebuchadnezzar says, "We cast in 3. How come there's 4 in there?" And one of them has the appearance as of the Son of God. Now, we don't know if this is truly God or an angel. But what it is God saves his people, doesn't he? Now, we don't always expect this sort of saving situation, but God saves us from a much greater danger through faith in Jesus Christ. Our danger, our culture is afraid. It confuses me. We in our culture are afraid of everything around the corner, but we're not afraid of God's final judgment very often. And we need to realize how important that is, that God has saved us not from the danger even of perhaps someone who would fight against the church. Sometimes he does, certainly. But he has saved us from the judgment which we deserve, to which we were exposed. We deserve, finally, eternal judgment, eternal hell. And God has saved us from that. How much more when we live in a world that is broken and has people who would do these sorts of things. God is able, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, to deliver. We don't need to fear. We don't need to worry about it. And God's name is praised. Notice how they came out of the fire. I just love that as well. Nebuchadnezzar calls to them. They walk out. And the people around, verse 27, see, there wasn't even the smell of fire on them. I went into a smoker's house the beginning of this week. I was in there for 5 minutes. And my clothes smelled like smoke. They stood there in the middle of the burning fiery furnace. Not a scent of smoke on them. Interestingly enough, those things with which they were bound seemed to have burned off of them. They were untouched even by smoke. God saves. God is the one who protects, defends, preserves, and protects, as we saw in the catechism this morning. Isaiah 43, verse 2, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall flame scorch you." We don't need to fear man. And we see Nebuchadnezzar was not the only witness. We had plenty of witnesses to this fact. And how does Nebuchadnezzar respond? Now, he's not ready to worship. That's going to take a little bit more. But notice what he says. "Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces and their houses made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. He sent his angels. Why? Because they would not serve nor worship any other God but their own God. And what happens with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They're promoted. People say it's not safe to say something against the government or against those who would fight against the gospel. No, it's not safe to go against God. That's, by the way, one of the things Luther said. God is the one who raises up. God is the one who brings low. And no matter what God does, notice Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego did not bind God's hands and say, He's going to deliver us. But God did deliver them. Remember what Jesus said. Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And so as we look at danger in this world, as we may look other things in the face in our culture as it fights harder and harder against the gospel, don't fear man. The worst they can do isn't nothing. As Paul said, they can just hasten on going to heaven. Kind of like that idea. But that's in God's hands. And so we can live faith in danger. We can trust that God is the one who saves us from danger. And no matter what happens, we need to be about God's name being praised, not our own. Amen. Let us then bow before our God in prayer. And we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the fact of Christ's victory over death, over sin, over hell, so that even though we will die should Christ tarry, we do not need to fear death because of what Christ has done in saving us, saving sinners who believe on Him. And we pray, O Lord, that we would not fear man, that we would not put our trust in our own lives, making idols of them, but rather that we would put our trust entirely in Christ, entirely in You, knowing that Your salvation is firmer, Your word is stronger than the ground underneath our feet. For we know that heaven and earth will pass away, but one jot and one tittle of Your word shall not pass away until all are fulfilled. We pray, Lord, in thanksgiving for Your grace to us as sinners. And we pray, Lord, that our lives would be not about fulfilling our desires, but about glorifying the God who bought us body and soul in life and in death, who gives to us eternal life. For we pray these things in Jesus' name, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.